And could we do a flag salute before we get going? Don't sit down, John.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. This is a public meeting of the mayor and the council of Township Clinton County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the bulletin boards in the municipal building and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, Courier News, Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger. Could I have a roll call?
Sure. Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kuchinowski?
Here.
Councilwoman Switlett?
Here.
Council President Malloy?
Here.
Mayor Higgins?
Here.
And we have a
quorum. Okay, thank you. The first item up are the approval of the regular session meeting minutes from March 27. Are there any comments, edits, changes?
I have none. I'll make the motion.
I'll second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining?
Aye.
I'm sorry, going too fast. Opposed or abstaining? Okay, thank you. The next item is the regular session meeting minutes from April 10. And again, any questions, comments, edits, concerns?
I have to abstain from that.
Okay. All right, I'll make the motion on that one.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining?
Abstain.
Okay. So we're up to the consent agenda, and these, as most people know, are routine items which may be approved in a single vote. We have the usual kinds of things here. Authorizing the return of premium refunds on lien redemptions. $1,100, and then releasing certain performance guarantees and escrows for various projects. Looks very routine to me. Are there any questions or concerns?
No. I have none. I'll make a motion.
Second.
And a roll call, please.
Sure. Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kuchinowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. And now we are up to the first public comment period. As many people know, we have two of them. If anybody has a comment that, doesn't need to be, that you would like to do now instead of after we discuss a few issues, please come forward. Okay, so I don't see any motion, so we'll move away from that and into reports. Councilman Strauss.
Yes, thank you. So our last Environmental Commission meeting was last Thursday, May 2nd. Recap of the events at Community Day. Community Day, as you know, was a success overall. But at the Environmental Commission tent, it was good. You know that we had seedlings to give away. I also donated my rain barrel to go away that I entered to win but didn't win back. So after I let it go. But I think a resident from High Ridge ended up winning it, and so good for them for being environmentally conscious about that. Our next meeting is June 6th, Board of Ed meetings at the end of the month. Nothing really new to report on that. And finally, just on the agenda, I was glad to see that one resolution was pulled for the C1C designation. So look forward to moving past that. Thank you.
Our planning board meeting was canceled this week. Lack of agenda. So that's not a bad thing. The local school board, I attended a Board of Education strategic planning meeting, the third of three meetings. I was surprised to find out it was a working session, but that's okay. So Linda LaCher was also there, a bunch of administrators, the board, and they came up with objectives and things for the school board. So they had a mediator, sort of say, who was running the show, and that seems to be going in the right direction. Let's hope they can keep it going in one direction, at least. On a personal note, I took the CPR class that was offered by Lieutenant Melski.
Clinton Rescue.
Yep, with Clinton Rescue and with three Clinton Township police officers. So if someone goes down, I'm your guy. And about 4 hours ago, the North 100 and Varsity golf team won the county title.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay. And so that's good news.
Have a relative?
No, my son is on the team. But I also want to point out there was a woman on the team for the first time. Because it is a co-ed team, but you know, they've never had an interest. And she actually scored today. She was one of the four scorers with a 79. And my son and his teammate tied for second and third.
Wow.
And some lucky kid from Central came in first for the individual by one stroke. But anyway, that's my report. North is doing good in sports.
As always.
Yeah.
Okay, me. Historic. Well, we had our community day. I think all of you were there. The poster I made was pretty much a kite on that windy day. It was like 3-mile-an-hour winds, but we do. We had some handouts and some Frisbees. We have extra if you need any. The meeting was May 1st. We had a little bit of frustration with the vacant building ordinance, but you know, we talked about that, and we're going to focus on the newsletter articles and the presentation they're going to do with the council. I know I talked about that in the wintertime, but you know, community day and things, we're a little behind. And I spoke about the historical tour guide thing that we're having in September. So the historic committee is going to be having like a tour of all the historical places in Clinton Township. And we have a Dennis Bertland. I don't know who he is, but he knows a lot about the history in the area, so he'll be leading it.
He's a historic preservation consultant we've used. We're using him for the old municipal building.
Okay. Well, we come for the 21st, which is a Saturday. The rain date's the 22nd, so we can't do that, so hopefully we won't have rain. Let's see, the community day, the dog parade, that was at 2:30. We got about 15 dogs. Jesse and you guys did a great job organizing it. I was the megaphone, and everybody was really pleased. You know, a lot of prizes for the dogs, and everybody really had a good time. Let's see.
Amy has a very cute dog.
Yeah, yours is too. The North 100 Inn Voorhees Board of Ed meeting April 30th. It was the budget hearing and adoption. There was no public comment and on the budget at all, which surprised me. The only comment was from Mr. Mielek in regards to Tewksbury Township, and his constituents are getting a little frustrated because their portion's always so big. So that was the only comment, really, discussions. And Rachel McLaughlin voted no, and she didn't explain why. But since she's a township representative, I emailed her, and I haven't heard yet, just in case we need to be aware of something on why she voted no. There's no capital projects this year. Enrollment's down 117 next year. You know that it's the 2% cap. See, they laid off 6 people, which is not great, but they had to do what they had to do. Let's see. This is interesting. I didn't know this. State aid is anticipated to decrease through 2025 with a total loss of about $1.6 million to the district. I didn't know that. So that was a little depressing.
It's a bunch of money.
It is a lot of money. So it's just going to be progressively worse, but we shouldn't be surprised being in New Jersey.
But I'm given to understand that the impact on Clinton Township this year will be?
Yes. I didn't get to that yet. Yes. Our section, our portion, is going to be down 1.4%. Yeah. So I was happy to hear that. And I think, what was the other one? I think Bethlehem Township is the other negative. But everyone else is a little bit of a raise. Thank you for pointing that out. That's an important tidbit. But basically, when Mr. Mielek was talking about, you know, what portion to each area is, the state dictates that. So it's really nothing anybody can do about that. But as I said, 1.4% decrease. The book banning topic, which we all have heard about, was the only public comment about that. Just basic frustration of the superintendent not being there. And long story short, they want the verbiage of that policy back to the original one. It was changed. And it was like a normal policy change that they were doing. They hired a company or something to do that, and everybody wants it the way it was. So that was basically the only public comment, and it went on for a while. The county, the Hunterdon County 4-H, as soon as I posted about that dog, offered to donate some things, about $1,500, $2,000. They wanted to do the vest, but we already have that. Other people were generous with that. So they're going to do food for a year for him, canine Narcan, frontline interceptor parasite medication.
Yeah, it's for fleas and internal parasites.
Yeah, but I mean, that's
that's expensive.
Really nice. Yeah. Really nice that they're doing that. So it seems like every time we do a social media push with that dog, we get more. It's great.
Get them out there. We'll lower taxes.
Yeah. And the other thing, the medication drop-off box, I'm sure you all heard about that. It's downstairs, normal business hours, and if anybody needs to drop it off after hours, you can contact the non-emergency phone number. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if maybe we can just put that on the website. Can we put that, like, just then?
The non-emergency number?
Yeah,
it's on the proceed, like, what we can put in it. Like, you can't put needles in it, things like that. Just a list of what we can, what we can't.
Okay. It's right on the front of the box. So
it is?
Yes.
I just thought people before they came down
No, understood. We'll do that.
But I think, believe it or not, that's it.
Okay. Well, as Tom mentioned, the planning board was canceled, so we can't report on that. I would like to compliment the rec committee and, gosh, our employees and everybody else that put on the community day. It was really a great event. Things went smoothly. Little bit windy, but the helicopter was happy with that, and we had a demonstration with our canine friend that proved he had a good bite. but really a nice event. It was good to see a lot of people there enjoying it. I'd also report on a DOT meeting that we had recently. Was that earlier this week, in fact? And this regard is with regards to Blossom Hill and improving the safety at that pass-through or cut-through on Route 22. There are two alternatives that the DOT can see that would make sense to them as traffic engineers. And one is to just plain close the thing, which I think would be, it would add to a lot of congestion before and after that particular cut-through. The one that we liked the best was a design sketch that would show two queuing lanes, eastbound and westbound, and they would be designed so that you could make left-hand turns from these queuing lanes, from Route 22 into both sides of Blossom Hill. In order to minimize the danger associated with other traffic movements, they would build something or stripe the intersection such that there would be no cross traffic allowed, so you couldn't drive from one side of Blossom Hill to the other side as you can now. And so the Blossom Hill traffic heading to the east would go down to the Merck traffic light and make a U-turn there. The other traffic flows would be unimpeded, and that's certainly better than closing the thing off. And again, this is a sketch. We met with our community relations person, and I would call them the rough sketch people. So this now goes down to the actual folks with the tape measures and radios, you know, information and everything else that would actually do the design. So we'll hear more about that, I think, in the next few months. And I almost, we'll see if it actually happens, but the improvements could actually take place this year, before the end of the year. So We'll see how well they do, and we'll see what that final design looks like. But certainly, I think from our perspective, it was a major step forward. So we've been at this, my goodness, for
18 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So fingers crossed. I mean, it really, really sounded positive. They feel pretty guilty about, you know, how many times somebody's retired, nobody picked up the ball, and that sort of thing. So hopefully the guilt will work, and things will happen pretty quickly. This is not on the agenda.
Excuse me.
So yes.
I don't know the procedure here because I don't come very often.
Sure.
I had two questions on the topic you were just talking about.
Awesome. Two quick ones. We have we have another public comment period.
Oh, okay.
Well, no, if you don't want to hang around, if you just have two questions and it's not a whole big groundswell, just shoot them out and give us your name.
I live in that area.
Actually, if you could come up to the microphone.
We just want to get you on tape.
Sorry.
That's all right.
What do I do?
Just sit down, tell us your name and address, and ask you two questions.
Hi, my name is Corinne Gonzalez-Rivas, and I live on Ramsey Road, 9 Ramsey Road, just off of Blossom Hill Road. Mm-hmm. My kids are just starting to drive, and so definitely an issue. Are they considering, or have they considered a traffic light, or?
No. They're, if we asked for a traffic light, 18 years would be a short period of time. It just wouldn't happen. So I would consider these kinds of things an 80% solution, maybe an 85%, 90% solution, but it's not perfect.
Isn't there, you can't have lights that close together either?
Correct.
They put one there for the hotel, and then our street got screwed.
The Merck traffic light, you know, is too close. And I would say when that traffic light, first of all, that cost $750,000. Second of all, Merck asked for that light, built the building. I built the building. We occupied the building. We're in there for about a year or so. I moved on to another job, and the company was paying overtime to make things happen fast. It still took about 5 years. Mm-hmm. So this particular light, even if you could build it, it would be on state money. It would get ranked by state priorities. The accident stats are not sufficient to give it a high ranking. So better we settle for the good, for the really good, as opposed to the perfect.
Is there I couldn't really follow what you were saying about what they were recommending. Is there a diagram that's going to be posted to the website or something?
Not until we actually get a design. Mm-hmm. So when it pops out of their design bureau, I guess, we'll put that up. And, you know, we'll talk about it at council. That's sort of the next step. We'll make sure it's on the agenda. Mm-hmm.
Can you just describe again what they were suggesting?
Okay. There'd be what's called a queuing lane. So the dividers are fairly wide at that point. So you might see some of the grass taken up. And in between the current curb and, part of the grass, you'd have a paved strip going in both directions. And then at the end of that paved strip, it would hold, I don't know, 5 to 10 cars, say. People wanting to make left turns. So you'd have the ability to have the car sitting there in what's currently the divider and then be able to make left-hand turns without interfering.
Okay. So you'd still make left turns from both directions and you wouldn't just be a mishmash in the middle?
Yeah, you wouldn't have the chaos in the middle.
Okay. Now.
And in order to eliminate that chaos, we just can't have that cross traffic because then, you know, you've got left-hand turn people and crossing people.
Right, it's just
a mess.
All right. That does sound like a pretty good solution.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you know, it's not perfect, but it's pretty good. And the other thing it does, if you're a truck turning into, say, Petowitz, Coleman, that queuing lane takes care of the back end of that truck sticking out the road.
Right.
So it's a much better situation than we have now.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. I have one other, two other comments, but let me do something that's not on the agenda, and this is a proclamation, and I'll read it. It's an EMS Week proclamation. Whereas emergency medical services is a vital public service, and whereas the members of emergency medical services teams are ready to provide life-saving care to those in need 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and whereas access to quality emergency care dramatically improves the survival and recovery rate of those who experience sudden illness or injury, and whereas emergency medical services have grown to fill a gap by providing important out-of-hospital care, including preventive medicine, follow-up care, and access to telemedicine, and whereas the emergency services consist of first responders, emergency medical technicians, paramedics, emergency medical dispatchers, firefighters, police officers, educators, administrators, pre-hospital nurses, emergency physicians, trained members of the public, and other out-of-hospital medical care providers. And whereas the members of emergency medical services teams, whether career or volunteer, engaged in thousands of hours of specialized training and continuing education to enhance their life-saving skills, and whereas it is appropriate to recognize the value and the accomplishments of emergency medical services providers by designating Emergency Medical Services Week. Now, therefore, I, John Higgins, Mayor of Clinton Township, New Jersey, in recognition of this event, do hereby proclaim the week of May 19 to 25, 2019, as Emergency Medical Services Week, with the theme EMS strong beyond the call. I encourage the community to observe this week with appropriate programs, ceremonies, and activities. Signed, myself. And so we'd like to thank our primary EMS provider here. And
Good work. See you tomorrow.
Sure. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much.
And finally, I would remark that the C1 stream thing was pulled from the agenda simply because we have not yet completed an assessment of the effect of this on our township. And it potentially affects an affordable housing plan. It potentially affects the operations of the Clinton Town Sewer Plant. As if, for instance, Raritan Township plant lies within the 300-foot buffers, so they can't do a thing to expand, change, or revise that plant. So they're very, very concerned down there. And before I recommend anything, I wanted to be sure we had all the facts, and it's going to take probably another week to determine what, if any, concerns we have, and then what, if any, remedies we would suggest. But it has been tabled. It has not been extinguished. Thank you.
I'll just report on the Recreation Committee. We had a meeting on Monday, the 15th, and primarily we're preparing for Community Day, which I think was, considering the circumstances, a pretty good success. The weather was difficult, and but turnout wasn't terrible, and we had an enthusiastic crowd. They also discussed their Easter event, which I also attended, and that was it turned out very well. There was pretty good turnout, and kids had fun, and Easter Bunny appeared. It was a really nice day. We did have some conversation on capital purchases, mostly revolving around the tennis courts, and we went out and did an inspection on Community Day with the mayor and someone from the rec committee and Mike Wright, and just took a look at the basketball courts, which are really in a bad way. So I'm sure we'll have some further discussion and recommendations coming down the road on that. And that's pretty much all that I had.
Windy Acres, excuse me, cleanup. I got these pictures of Windy Acres that were taken by one of our Environmental Commission chair, actually, with his drone to show the before and afters. But the old buildings, the houses, the barns, all except the one main house, will be gone hopefully in about 2 weeks. The demolition crew is up there. They've got their equipment in place. The buildings will, be demolished. The basements will be filled in, and it will have a park up there in the October. We want to have Oktoberfest. We're looking for some funds to put up a pavilion, some benches, porta potties we'll have in. The bridge is in and done. So once all this heavy equipment gets out of there, we'll fix the road. I mean, you guys know how bad the road was getting in there. But we'll fix the driveway, and that'll be a great park. I think anybody who's been up there knows it's a beautiful park. I mean, it's just incredible, full of wildlife. So that's a good thing. Jay and I are talking about the capital plan at the next meeting. Community Day was windy. Tom did do a great job. One of the main attractions was the canine demonstration by TAPCO, our new canine officer who just graduated Friday, right? Last Friday? Yeah.
Thursday or Friday.
Thursday or Friday. That's right. And he took down a bad guy, another police officer. Actually bit him. But, it comes with a job. Nothing too serious. A couple stitches. But the dog, it's a great dog. He was the biggest dog in the court in his class. He's actually a Belgian Shepherd from Poland, and he's a very intelligent, good dog. So we're looking forward to him making some good arrests and things like that. We are also, Tom and I from Recreation, working on the helicopter, the Black Hawk crew that was at Community Day. The pilot lives in town, and his crew chief lives in Hillsborough, so we are going to meet the next couple weeks. See if we can do something in the high school, with the high school, like an Ironman competition, only not necessarily Ironman, but have people run the fitness course, do some push-ups, sit-ups, the helicopter will be there, the National Guard guys and give out T-shirts and things like that. So that could be a great fall event. Public Works, again, did a great job for Community Day. You know, with all the wind, there was stuff blowing all over that part of town, actually. But Monday morning, it was clean. Everything was done. The bathrooms were clean. The porta-potties were gone. And they did a great job of assisting with the parking and everything that day. So, funding for open space. We got the money from the state. So that came in finally, our last payment from Green Acres. We have that in the bank, right? Yeah, it's in the bank. So we have that in the bank, and the county will be voting on our reimbursement from the county in their May 20th or 22nd meeting. So the resource of the funding is coming in, and we've been working on for quite some time.
Long
tower,
over.
If you hadn't noticed, they're building a cell tower out on the other side here. They were moving right along until we had all the rain, and they got to let the hole dry out, basically. And just so you know, a lot of the dirt and the rocks from the hole are going into filling the basements at Windy Acres. It's great. The OEM team, we met last week, and it was a good discussion. We had all the folks there from police, fire, rescue. Mayor and I were there, and we're going to have a drill with that here shortly. I think over the summer we'll have like a tabletop exercise where we, you know, have some blueprints and identify an issue, yes, maybe with a school or something. So that'll be good. And last but not least, the drug box is here, donated by Rite Aid, and needles and hypodermic needles and liquids are prohibited. Can't put it in. That's all I got.
Well, unfortunately, just to review, Rite Aid donated the box, yep, for us. I looked at it. I got to look at it. My main concern was security. It's pretty neat how they have it. It's almost like a mail slot. So if someone were to try to get into that box, it would be pretty difficult for them. It's also anchored or going to be anchored to the ground. So that's really good news. But it was free. We were discussing it here, and out of nowhere, Rite Aid just reached out for us and offered to donate it. The canine officer has graduated, so not only do we now have another tool to use, we have another officer back who's been at training for some time. So that's good news as well. A couple of apologies. I apologize. I haven't gotten back to you, Mr. Mayor, on the sensors that we had out. Mm-hmm. I have called Sergeant Buvell on that, but I'm really not sure what became of that second one, and I'm still trying to find out. And another apology, I was off for a week, so I was unable to get the statistics and the numbers that I typically have. I need about another hour, so I'll have them tomorrow morning. I realize that's very little use for right now, but if you do have any questions when you read them over, feel free to reach out for me.
Thank you.
Should we wear them yet? Yeah, I don't think we want them sitting there for a long time.
Yeah. Come on in.
Hey.
Oh, he is handsome. That's my good-looking dog.
There's our canine team.
Yep.
Finally graduated. We're good to go. We're ready to start arresting people.
Maybe finding some too.
You want me to stand out and protect?
Yeah.
We actually got called out this evening, so that's why we're both a little bit filthy.
Oh. We're gonna swear them in though. So.
So actually,
this is great. I've never sworn to dog.
Neither have I. So let's.
All righty. Oh my God. So I'm supposed to can repeat a little closer?
Probably not. You start talking, everybody's getting nervous. A little closer. It's okay. It's okay. No, it's okay.
All right.
She's actually very friendly. She's
sometimes looking for all the ones. Let's see. Okay. Solemnly swear that you will support this Constitution. You will support the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of New Jersey, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same and to the laws established in this state and in the United States under the authority of the people, that you will faithfully, impartially, and justly perform all of the duties of canine officer in the Township of Clinton to the best of your abilities, so help you.
Oof.
Signify yes for working.
Likewise.
Yay. All right.
Did you bring it? We just put that fall print. John could sign it.
And for the record, this is Sergeant John Tiger. We should have introduced him. He's the proud trainer. Exactly, yeah.
One second. One more chapter.
It's important to note, though, that is a police officer. The same as that guy standing there and these two guys over here. So if you hurt the dog, you're hurt. It's the same as assaulting a police officer. That's why he's got a badge, and we're working on a vest for him. So we're glad to have you here, really. Congratulations.
Thank you for taking it on.
Thank you for all that work.
A lot of work.
Yes, actually, on that, I did receive the check today for the payment of the badges.
Oh, good.
So we'll just wait till another time so the donor can be here.
Yeah.
You can use the picture. So
I'm not going to ask you.
Boy's got a scratch.
We had a donation for the dog's badges, by the way. That's what Mark was mentioning.
Good. It may be an issue that I'm having.
Okay. Looks good. Very good.
I was looking right at you, really.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's why I started to crack up during the
I know. I got you laughing.
But his look was so... He just has the coolest look on his face.
Really?
He's a gorgeous boy.
Good. There
you go. No, thanks.
I'm sorry, Sergeant Tiger. I think the recruit in the back had something to say to you about your canine.
He always had something to say.
Thank you.
Thanks for
your time.
Let's go to work.
Made my day.
That was something.
Made my day.
Okay, we are now up to resolutions. The first one is authorizing the self-examination of the budget. This is every 3 years the state looks at our budget. The other two intervening years we examine our own budget. So this simply recognizes that this year we're looking at our own budget. Any questions or concerns from council? Our CFO, Lori, can certainly answer them better than me if there are any.
I have none.
No.
Nope.
I'll make the resolution then. I'll make the motion, rather.
Second.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlik?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. The next resolution, I'll just read it by title. It's thanking Suburban Consulting Engineers for volunteering to donate a drone and crew for a day to videotape the park, a.k.a. Windy Acres, Farmstead and Trail. And... Andy Holt currently chairs our Environmental Commission and was kind enough to bring his firm's new drone, pilot, some engineers, and everybody else out to the site and spend an entire day generating some really terrific pictures.
The final product was wonderful. They had historic facts on it and everything.
Yeah, very nicely. All mounted on foam core. It's a lot of it's a big investment in time and materials, so we very much appreciate this, and I certainly appreciate his role as the chair of the Environmental Commission. So, should we have a vote to accept it?
Sure.
Okay, and let me I'll make the motion.
Second.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlik?
Yes.
Council President Malloy?
Yes.
Yes. Oops. Okay. So now we are up to the introduction of an ordinance. And this is, I'll read this by title. This is ordinance number 1131-19. It's an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, authorizing the acquisition for $1 of parking and access easements from ExxonMobil Research and Engineering Company. To some degree, our court is the victim of its own success. On Wednesdays, court days, there are so many cars out there that they end up out on Route 31. Or in some cases, we even had a trailer, a big 18-wheeler, pull off on the grass where we intend to put a parking lot and make a mess out of the grass over there. So Exxon has been kind enough to give us a very long-term commitment. We're just shy of a half an acre of land, and we intend to place a parking lot there shortly for overflow purposes on Wednesdays.
Price is a steep dollar, right?
It's a tough bargain.
Yeah.
Jesse squeezed them really hard. we do still have to figure out exactly how much we're going to improve that, whether with lighting or pavement or not. So that's all subject to the deliberations of our finance committee and Jess and Lori in terms of, you know, estimating what the cost will be associated with various improvements and then deciding how to rank those improvements with competing capital projects. We expect those kinds of deliberations to happen in the intervening 2 weeks between now and the next meeting. So at that point, to talk about some of our capital expenditures for the balance of the year. Any discussion on council's part? No? Okay. In that case, could I have a motion to introduce this?
So moved.
Second.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Molloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Thank you. Next, and by the way, the public hearing on this is June 12, 2019. So up to the adoption of ordinances at this point. First one up is the ordinance 1129-19, calendar year 2019. It's an ordinance to exceed the municipal budget appropriation limits and to establish a cap bank. And as I said at the time we introduced this, this is a pretty routine part of the township, nothing particularly special about it.
Yeah, I think it just basically allows us, because we're not going to the cap on appropriations, to bank the difference between what we're appropriating this year and the cap and carry it forward for a couple of years, I think, two years.
Any further discussion from council?
No, I was satisfied last time when you said it's more of a protection than a practice. Yeah.
All right, so let me open the public hearing on that. Are there any members of the public that wish to comment on this ordinance? Hearing and seeing no motion out there, I'll close the public hearing and ask for a roll call.
Motion first.
Oh, excuse me. Ask for a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Oh. Yep.
Second.
Okay. Amy and Tom?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Molloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. Tell you what, let me digress from or divert a little bit from the agenda, if that's permissible, and let's do the next ordinance.
Do we have to do them in a specific order? Okay.
So we'll come back to the budget. There might be some discussion on that. We might as well dispose of this one first. This is ordinance 1130-19, an ordinance to amend an ordinance entitled an ordinance to establish salaries, wages, and compensation ranges for non-contractual officials and employees of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, and State of New Jersey. And again, this is a fairly routine annual look at our salary ranges. There's no monetary impact as a result of this. It simply widens the ranges as appropriate to inflation and perhaps look at how other towns value different positions. So any discussion on the part of council?
I brought it up last time, but the minimum wage is $8.85, not $8.50.
I changed it.
Yeah, you made the modification.
Is that a
little
copy?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an old copy?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's an old copy?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, copy out there is
$8.85. Yeah.
I got this out of the box.
Oh. He has the right one. You
must have grabbed my first one.
There might have been some left over
might
from that last
over from last time.
Yeah. No version numbers on them.
Okay. All right, so let me open the public hearing on the salary range adjustments. Any comments or concerns on the part of the public? I'll close the public hearing in that case. And may I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Councilman Strauss?
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski?
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick?
Yes.
Council President Molloy?
Yes.
Mayor Higgins?
Yes. And we're up to that time where we look at the annual budget and who would like to make some comments?
I'll do the same high-level comments that I made at the introduction. The budget this year, and I'll give you some raw numbers here, too. Let's see. total budget, total appropriations is $13,468,851.87. Amount to be raised by taxation is going to be $8,699,044.89. This is the proposed budget. We have a surplus last year of about $1.3 million, of which we are utilizing about $852,000. As I mentioned at the last meeting, all of the expenditure lines, the departmental expenses, are flat or down pretty much across the board, with maybe one or two exceptions. There are, of course, increases for statutory requirements and salary. We did reduce headcount, and we are planning to go to the cap this year. One of the things you'll note is we have an increase over last year's allotment for capital. We're trying to move away from bonding, and that's really one of the things that drove the increase in this year's budget, was another increase in our debt service payment. So we're hopeful that by moving to a more pay-as-we-go method of funding capital projects, most namely roads is probably the biggest one that we've got, we will get out of that cycle, and things will be a little bit more predictable and easier to manage. So that's okay. The high-level spiel.
Comments, Lori, or you're good? Okay. All right, then I'll open the public hearing on the budget. Are there any comments or concerns on the budget from the public?
Good evening, Nick Crocodilis, Clinton Township. Back in, this relates to the budget. Back in December of 2018, the Clinton Township School District filed a legal action, essentially a lawsuit against Clinton Township, claiming that you weren't going to pay your collected school tax revenues to the school district. The school district wound up withdrawing that action. But what's interesting and troubling is something that was submitted to the court in that action. It was a certification, basically a sworn statement by John E. Barrett, who was a certified municipal finance officer and certified county finance officer in the state of New Jersey. He said he was retained to analyze Clinton Township's finances and Clinton Township's apparent cash flow problems. I don't believe this council has made any comments. The township hasn't issued any statements about this document. What this consultant says is the main benefit, he talks about the township deferring school tax revenues payments to the district every year. So the main benefit to the township for deferring school taxes is that the municipal fund balance, or surplus, is artificially increased. As of the December 31 municipal year end, the township considers the deferred school taxes as part of the municipal surplus. He says, while permitted by law, this financial gimmick is little more than manipulative accounting, deficit spending, and is not a best practice. He says it has been criticized by the Division of Local Government Services and credit rating services such as Moody's because it artificially inflates the amount of surplus reported in the township's budget. I'm going to depart from what he said in here to point out that not too long ago, Clinton Township reported a $900,000 deficit in its budget, which we were told was a paper thing. That was not real money. We shouldn't worry about it. But that's my aside for now. The certification goes on to tell the court that essentially Clinton Township has created an endless cycle in which it has become dependent on the school district's tax revenue to fund its budget. This certified municipal and county finance officer is saying that the township has created an endless cycle in which it has become dependent on the school district's tax revenue to fund its budget. To get through the 2018 budget year, the township drew upon most of its surplus of $966,000. The township used $717,000 of those funds to balance its budget, leaving only $249,228 of surplus available for future use. Then he says something interesting. Not that the preceding part was not interesting. The township needs to generate more revenue by raising taxes or reduce its costs by cutting the services it offers. The township has had layoffs, you've cut positions, and you've cut services to residents.
We've done over the last 10 years, absolutely.
You raise taxes.
The consultant says in his certification, the township scheme of using deferred school taxes is essentially like using one credit card to pay off another, and it is not sustainable. Again, he predicts the township is going to need to generate more revenue by raising taxes or to reduce its costs by cutting the services it offers. So now let's look at your budget. And let's compare it to other towns surrounding Clinton Township. Highbridge, for example. Mm-hmm. Highbridge's tax rate between 2018 and 2019 went up 1.95%. Califon's, between last year and this year, according to the new budget, is up 2.7%. The town of Clinton's tax rate has gone up 2.44%. These are our neighboring towns. Tewksbury's tax rate has gone up 3.3%. Now, Reddington, which is probably, these towns are relatively small. Reddington is bigger than we are, but it's certainly the closest town in size and function to Clinton Township. Their tax rate has increased 1.78%. Clinton Township's tax rate has gone up 13.45%. That's four times the next highest one. And it's seven times the increase of Reddington's, which is the town most similar to us.
Let me just interrupt.
Excuse me.
I'm running this meeting, not you.
This is my
let me read.
New Jersey, I'm allowed to speak. When I finish speaking, you're welcome to speak, sir.
Well, you're
own
at
the
5 minutes and 20 seconds, so please hurry
up. Excuse me. You took comment out of order.
I did. And it was less than 10 minutes or 20 minutes,
welcome,
or whatever you want to.
You are welcome to comment on whatever.
Finish up.
Don't snap at me, sir.
I'll snap at you if I choose to.
You will.
Finish up.
The Clinton Township budget is up 6.99% while you're cutting services and you're cutting staff. Where are you spending this money? Let's take a look. You recently hired a new CFO for $88,000 a year for a three-day-a-week job. That annualizes to $146,667. Is there an employee of the township who makes that much money?
Mr. Corcadillas, with all due respect, that's a decrease.
Sir, I'm
over what we spent in prior years.
If you annualize the $88,000 salary, what do you come
we're
out
not on an
full year service.
We had a CFO last year who was paid more and who received benefits. We have a CFO this year who, in my mind, by the way, is very highly qualified.
Can I finish my presentation, please?
You're not allowed to filibuster, sir.
Given the financial straits this township is in, of course.
Okay, that's all I ask.
Given the financial straits this township is in, I would suggest to you it's a false way to save money.
Given
the other way that you're spending
so
money.
Hold on. I'll let you finish, but hold
Brian,
on.
Brian, you're welcome.
But
I would like to finish what I have to say. You're welcome to comment.
Your comment, though, is that we should hire a less well-qualified CFO.
I did not say that.
There's a juxtaposition.
I said you should hire one who doesn't cost us an effective $147,000. It's the highest paid person.
We hired somebody that will do the job at a lower cost.
Where else are
you
spending
the job. We don't annualize by hour. It's competency and getting the job done.
Where else are you spending our money? Last year, you signed a settlement agreement with the Fair Share Housing Center, which effectively is suing Clinton Township or threatening to sue Clinton Township for affordable housing. In the process of signing that settlement, you made a donation to the Fair Share Housing Center, what we could arguably call Clinton Township's number one legal enemy.
With all due respect,
you made the donation of $30,000. That comes That doesn't come out of our budget?
Not 2019, it does not.
Really?
It does not come out of the 2019 budget, sir, that we are looking to adopt today.
Where does the money come from?
Last year.
It came from the 2018.
Whose pockets?
This discussion is about the 2019 budget. Please keep your comments limited to the 2019 budget.
I am concerned about where you've been spending our money. Then you bonded $500,000. You borrowed $500,000 to buy sewer capacity for affordable housing. That's one way to approach affordable housing. When I was mayor, we sued the state of New Jersey to protect us from ridiculous costs of affordable housing. That's your judgment call. This is where you're spending the money.
When you were mayor, you threatened to...
Then you bonded
to confiscate $500,000 properties at $1.5
You're borrowing $500,000 to improve Windy Acres.
No.
You borrowed $500,000 in bonding.
We have not borrowed nor bonded...
You have not bonded the $500,000 to improve Windy Acres?
We have not bonded that. No, sir.
You have not. Did you approve it?
We approved the bond ordinance, yes.
You approved the bond ordinance. Fair enough. Windy Acres is not going anywhere, folks. We've had it. We've owned it for 10 years. We've owned it for 10 years. You're talking about building pavilions. You're talking about installing facilities. You're talking about installing bathrooms. And yet you're cutting services and employees from Clinton Township and telling us you're saving money. You're increasing, you just talked about increasing debt service in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Our borrowing costs. Where do you think that money comes from? Let me repeat to you. It puzzles me why you haven't responded to the public or even acknowledged the fact that a legal certification was made by a certified financial person about your finances. These are serious accusations.
And it was withdrawn.
And it was withdrawn.
The suit was withdrawn. The document remains. And if you want to call Mr. Barrett a liar, you're welcome to go to court and do it.
We don't need to spend the money on that.
You are spending money and charging us an increase of 13.5% in our tax rate to pay for what? Bonding? Brian, you said in the paper... The increase in the levy is driven predominantly by two factors.
Yes.
Increased debt service of $400,000 plus.
Yep.
Capital fund, $500,000.
Correct. An increase, yes.
Okay. That's the increase. The consultant to the school district makes an interesting point. He says you're essentially using one credit card or borrowing to pay off another. And he says that it's unsustainable. Then he says, as of September 2018, when we think about where this capital is going, the township, as of September 2018, has approximately $4.9 million in cash. Essentially, $3.9 million of that amount is made up of bond funds borrowed from the township's general capital fund. So now you're increasing your capital fund by another $500,000. It looks awfully suspicious that you're boosting your capital fund, cutting staff, cutting services, and borrowing more capital to improve Windy Acres. Your budget is the most astonishing thing in this part of Hunterdon County.
So are you against demolishing buildings that are on stage on Windy
Acres? It's inexcusable.
It's your backyard. Don't
it's
you want
inexcusable.
To say?
Clinton Township residents need improvements on Windy Acres to the tune of an extra $1 million in raised taxes. You're raising taxes from $7.6 million
to buy
to $8.6 million.
These are your
plans.
And
Clinton Township, bottom line, can't afford improving Windy Acres.
And that's a discussion that should be had.
While you're raising our taxes to the max, Brian, you're raising our tax to the max. You can't defend it.
So your recommendation is what exactly?
My recommendation
for the budget.
Fiscal prudence. My recommendation is that you think twice about raising our taxes as much as you are when our neighbor towns, you're raising the amount from taxes for your budget 13% compared the far lower rates by every other town in this area.
Which have a higher overall tax rate.
Yeah.
Yes.
Much higher.
Comparing increases in rates, it's relative.
So I understand. We are.
I'm happy to sit in the audience and listen to you. My public comment is that your budget in this area of Hunterdon County is a disaster, and I believe what you're doing is loading your capital fund so that you can cover your surplus, which has been a disaster. For the past, you yourself, Brian, pointed out that the addition to surplus 2017 was 20 grand. Then it was 160 grand last year. This year is $660,000.
That's to capital.
No. Additions to surplus in 2017 were $20,000. In 2018, $160,000. Now you're adding $660,000 to surplus.
No, that's not correct.
I'm sorry. That's what's been reported.
I'm not sure where.
That's not correct. You read the same newspapers that I do, Brian.
I'm...
You are
if it was reported that I don't read dramatically compared
to our neighbor towns. You're cutting employees. You're making some people go part-time. You're cutting benefits. Yeah. You're cutting services. But you're going to improve and clean up Windy Acres. Windy Acres has been fine. I look at Windy Acres,
Inaccessible without breaking the law.
No one can use it.
Excuse me, Brian. It's been there for 10 years.
I understand.
And no one's used it.
Let's
you stay now?
I'm not going anywhere.
Good.
Let's talk a little bit. You know, we talked about the ex-mayor, talked a little bit about other towns. Let's talk about the actual penny tax rates. This is per 100K. Lebanon Township, $353 a year to live there per 100,000. Clinton Township, after this increase, $405. Tewksbury was held up, $426. Reddington is arguably well-managed and very similar to us. We both have a $100 million rateable, the first and second largest rateables in the county. We're going to 405. They're going to 572 a year. Clinton Town, 836 a year. Smaller towns do pay more in taxes. There's no doubt about that. Highbridge, 1,047. So, yes, we're increasing our taxes. Please, I gave you the courtesy.
You told me that I should be quiet.
That's right, particularly sitting in the audience. So, we are working off a legacy of prior regimes. In 2008, the use of surplus, the so-called scheme, which is perfectly legal, by the way, and many, many towns in this county do it. In 2008, the use of surplus went from in the 30s to over 60%. I'll give you one clue who was the mayor at that time.
And deferred tax.
And that started the use of surplus. When I became mayor, 88% of it was gone. The township did not, despite a frugal budget, the township... was not taking in adequate funds. It continued to use the surplus. We've managed to just about reverse that process. That's a legacy of years of councils that would not raise taxes.
How many years did you continue doing that, John?
Doing what?
You just described tapping the surplus.
We've been raising taxes as aggressively. No, the use of surplus on my watch. Has been reduced. It was 88% when I came in. I don't know the percentage today, but the fact of the matter is previous administrations were using surplus at a very precipitous rate, greater than $1 million a year. And we needed to reverse that trend, which is what we're on the verge of doing. And the proof of the pudding is the suit was withdrawn. We have not been late on any school tax payment. And by the way, late is not 2 weeks. Late's 30 days. Well, that's the proof of that particular pudding and this particular CFO's, who has a rather colorful history in Hamilton Township, I might add. Do a little research.
Not our CFO. A different CFO.
The CFO quoted in that report. And, hey, maybe he's better at predicting weather. He wasn't particularly accurate. Obviously, anybody that can read a budget could predict tax increases. We don't print money in the basement. And as I said, we had been using up, from your time forward, this township has been using up its surplus at a precipitous rate. We've stemmed the tide, and we've turned the tide. But thank you.
And I'd throw in that we've found ways to generate revenue outside of taxation. We have the cell tower going up here behind us. We've done a lot of shared services, and we're doing what we can outside of tax dollars to increase revenue into the township, because we've lost a lot.
I was mayor. We handed you the revenues coming from the North Hunter New Court, which you have been enjoying, and the mayor just referred to it earlier.
I don't dispute it, but please don't speak from the audience. Come up to the chair.
Okay, is there any further comment from the public relative to the budget? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing and ask for a motion.
I'll make a motion.
I will make a motion to adopt the resolution for the budget. We wanted to use some specific
language. The resolution the budget is adopted by resolution. There is a printed resolution.
I'll second it.
Okay, so Brian first.
I did, yes.
Councilman Strauss.
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski.
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick.
Yes.
Council President Malloy.
Yes.
Mayor Higgins.
Yes. Okay. I don't recall seeing vouchers. Were they in the package?
They were there.
They were there.
You abstained from them.
My apologies. When there's a bunch of attachments, sometimes it doesn't roll up in my email. Okay.
I'll move to pay the bills.
Second. Councilman Strauss.
Yes.
Councilman Kochanowski.
Yes.
Councilwoman Switlick.
Yes.
Council President Malloy.
Yes, and I'll note it was a really big bill this month.
And Mayor Higgins.
I'm abstaining.
Okay.
Okay. Now we're up to the final public comment period. Are there any members of the public that wish to make a comment, please?
My name is Robert DiMarco from Lebanon Borough, New Jersey. You all know my wife, Carol DiMarco, who worked here for 18 years and was terminated. And she wrote a letter to all of you, and I'm sure you got that. And we got no response. You know, we wrote in that letter, it was about the money, total $30,000 she's losing out on. We don't really care. We understand budget cuts. It was the way she was treated. 60 seconds. Right, Jesse? 60 seconds. Coming. You didn't even sit down. You didn't do anything. You just said, sorry, it is what it is. Sorry. 18 years. 15 minutes. Get out of here. Leave your key and your passwords. That's how you treat people after 18 years? That's the way? That's the respect? She's done good. Mark, she knows you for 18 years. You know, we're not asking for much here. A simple, you know, hey, thank you for 18 years. You did great, Carol. Or didn't she? But as far as I know, she would have stayed here for 18 years, or you would have kept her for 18 years. But is this the respect she deserves? Any comments?
Well, I just think that the personnel issues, it's a tricky thing where, I mean, I understand how you're feeling. I do. I'm sorry that you feel that way. But we have a hard time talking about personnel issues when it's confidential information.
Confidential information?
I personally got your letter, and I felt it, and I feel bad for you, but I can't comment.
Okay, well, confidential information, the whole township knew the day before Carol was told. And you know how Carol...
I don't know how that was possible.
Well, it was.
I didn't know, and I'm on...
You didn't know, but other employees in the township knew. Okay. And they came and said, yeah, Carol, I didn't know what to say to you. I saw you that day. They kept her there until 3 o'clock. Shut off her password on her computer, and she's like, why can't I get in? So that's a total BS.
I wasn't there.
Okay, no, I understand you weren't there.
I'm sorry you're upset. I really am.
And then... The way I was told, her boss, Patty, was told the day before, it wasn't a discussion with her, that's how Jesse told Patty that Carol was being dismissed. That is complete BS, and you know it. And it's still, I just, I'm looking at your faces. You're all blank. Like, I understand what you're saying, but.
I feel badly for you. I really do. I feel badly for the situation.
I'm sure everyone read the letter, as did I.
I did.
And don't feel good about it. But this is a public meeting, and we really can't discuss that at a public meeting.
Well, but I, you know, Carol sent a letter to you. So how is she supposed to discuss it? Where is it? Where does it? It doesn't get discussed. That's it. End of story. See ya. 18 years. Screw you. That's what it is, right? That's how you treat.
Sir, there's not much we can say at this meeting.
I wasn't not having been there. I really can't speak to how it went, but I certainly understand how she's feeling. We just went through a major restructuring where I work, and my boss was let go. Same kind of thing. I
understand. I'm a business owner.
Yep.
I've had to lay people off. I've never done it like that. Get the hell out of it. When I had to let someone go, I actually give them 2 weeks. They say, hang around. I don't say, get the hell out. This is who you're dealing with. That's all.
Anyone else from the public?
All right. Hi, guys. Deb Nolan. Couple things. Intersection. Thank you for everybody's hard work. I think I started it when Nick was here, and we went down to Trenton with Mayor Semay and everything. So just a couple questions. So I think, is there any way that you can do the second option, which is the trying to see if that other option, you know, the...
Not to close off the second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, can you try that, obviously?
I think that's what we were...
Yeah. Oh, I'm right. Sorry. I wasn't clear.
Okay, I thought you had said there was
no,
two.
No, the close it off option didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay.
This one looked very appealing and certainly more appealing than the other. So now they're taking this option to the design stage.
Okay.
But it should be noted that the second option, while allowing left turns from 22, won't mm-hmm. allow... someone from Blossom Hill to make a left turn.
Right. Which is fabulous. The other, right. I mean, that's so half the battle.
Yeah, hopefully it will be closed off to that directional traffic.
Right. So will it still be one giant intersection with some going onto Blossom Hill and then some turn making a U-turn, or are you going to separate it, which is what I was kind of...
The way it'll work
you know what I'm saying?
To make a left-hand turn across the highway... Well before the cut-through, you would move to the left lane and then in turn cross into where there's grass now in the divider, portion of the divider would turn into pavement. And that's where the cars could queue up. You know, like I said, 5 or 10 cars, something like that. And they could then sit there and see the oncoming traffic. And
to go across.
To go across and go to Lebanon Borough if you're westbound, or go into make a U-turn, or go into Blossom Hill if you're eastbound. Now, but you're going to have both, you know, part of the divider in both directions will be turned into pavement. And what they have to figure out is do they put, there's like Jersey barriers, and then there's what are called mountable curbs, those kind of tapered curbs, which are maybe about that tall, to discourage people from doing things they shouldn't be doing. So, you know, is it stripes? Is it mountable?
Mm-hmm.
Does a U-turn radius work, for instance, you know, where, depending upon where the right-of-way ends, if you're making a U-turn to go to the liquor store or something.
Mm-hmm.
So all that design stuff is yet to be figured out. This is just, it was just a sort
right.
of schematic. That
they had. Have they thought about, like, if, have they thought about making almost two cut-throughs, like keeping the intersection large, like the size of it, to go across, and then just making a little, almost set one right before to do the, no, that's not even an option.
They're not going to, the cross traffic, what happens is, when you get cross traffic, then you've got basically 4 lanes possible, you know, with people cross traffic in both directions, and then the left-hand turn people.
Yeah.
And it'll continue to be a mess after spending.
No, I absolutely agree that you need to shut it down for cars coming the other way, absolutely, so then, okay. All right. So that was my one question about that. Thank you so much. I know that you probably, you know that every single person that sees an accident there or anything sends me those
types of
pictures.
Sure.
And then I...
Keep sending them. There's nothing, it keeps it in everybody's...
I mean, I'm at work, like, teaching, you know, sixth grade math, and I'm getting, oh, another accident.
Keep sending it.
So I appreciate your willingness. I had a couple other quick questions about when I called Joe Gepfert to tell him about the intersection, because Bern Gepfert used to be my sidekick at these things, and she's no longer here. So when I called Joe and I told him, he wanted to ask on behalf of the Concord Road house that's next to him what's happening, because that was the other fight for Bern that I wanted to come in and just find out what's happening with that. Because it was court. Supposed to be it, like...
Well, he went to court, right? And then
contempt of court.
Yeah, now he's in court. Contempt of court. Yeah, so
who's the person who's building?
The owner.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The next step, I guess, would be a warrant.
Yeah.
For the rest.
So what can I tell Joe?
Tell him we're prosecuting it literally as vigorously as we can. There's a process which, at the end of the day, if he continues to... just stonewall us and not show up, and you swear out a warrant and hope somebody picks him up at a traffic stop or something and sends him over to us.
He said he was out of money the first court case, correct?
And sell it.
That's what I said.
That's not an excuse.
No, it's not.
All right. I also want to thank you for the leaf collection from the when we were trying to do our luminaries, and it was a little delayed, and I know that you guys put a good word in for us over there, and almost all of the roads were cleared, and we were able to do that, so I wanted to thank you. One other question. The Glen Eagles Heather Hill construction that's going on, was that as a result of the trucks going through there? From what we understand, that's what we were told. I wanted to just confirm that or deny that.
They had a lot of water main breaks, one or two on Blossom Hill. Yeah, one or two on Blossom Hill, and I'm going to say four or five in the neighborhood. And for a while, when the high onus thing was going hot and heavy, I thought it was trucks, but the water department assured us it was just the age of the mains. So what we did is, because, forgive me, I can never remember the shorter of the two, Glen Eagles and Muirfield, but the one that goes right into
Muirfield.
Thank you. That road had gotten so beat up with all the construction stuff, we just put a quick top coat on it to smooth it out and, the pathway in from Blossom Hill, knowing that we'd rip it up as soon as, I'll back up. We did all the survey work to rebuild the pathway into county specs and repave the rest of the neighborhood. So we sat with Clinton Town, who, had new mains somewhere in their priority list. So we talked to them. They agreed to move it up. They got funding for it. So they used our survey work to do the designs for their water mains and new meters. So that's in progress. It may be complete now. I'm not quite sure. But then you put that stuff in, which did not rise as the result of Ionis, at least I thought it might have. And then patched the excavation, let it settle for a winter, and God willing, we'll repave next year.
My understanding is that work completed yesterday. The work on the mains itself.
Oh, that's great. Okay, I just had heard that, so I wanted to just double check and see if that was the cause of it.
Now, it looks suspicious, but I was assured by the engineers who know such things that it wasn't.
All right. And then one last question, and then I'll be on my way. The basketball courts at Bunt, was that I heard you talk about that. Are you? You're not removing those, are you?
No.
And clean them up and fix them.
Good. Right. Okay.
There may be one or two fewer by the time we're done. The Recreation Commission has some ideas that they'd like to do. And again, it depends on availability of funds, and it's a long-term plan. But we need to. We do. There have the cracks in there. Are pretty huge.
Right. I had heard that they were removing them. I just wanted to know my son.
There will still be basketball courts at Bunt.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Nick Walker-Dillis again, Clinton Township. Until yesterday, there was an item on the agenda relating to resolution opposing the new Category 1 stream designations, and that was removed yesterday. Mr. Mayor, I believe you said something about it earlier during. Did you make some reference to that?
Yeah, it was an inadvertent situation. I don't know how it showed up.
That it was removed or that it was put on?
No, that it was put on. I asked it that it be removed. Subject to further investigation in terms of, as I said, I want to understand completely the effects of those stream redesignations on the township.
I'm sure you've read the articles and the review and
read
the Democrat
the articles,
about
look at the maps,
freeholders and comments that have been made.
And your letters and everything else.
Okay. I believe you made a comment about Reddington's position on this or something to the effect.
Raritan, maybe. The effect on Raritan.
Was it Raritan or Reddington that you were referring to?
I was referring to Raritan. I might have stumbled first. But
no, I thought you said Raritan.
Okay. Yeah. Just for the record, Reddington Township unanimously endorsed and supports the Category 1 designation throughout the whole state of New Jersey, including Reddington Township, which has, as you know, its own sewer treatment plant. And although they are concerned about their ability to provide sewer capacity, they are far more concerned about the impact of not having more Category 1s.
Having sat with the chair of the planning board this morning at a session with some realtors, we did privately, informally chat about stuff. Bear in mind, their sewer treatment plant is not affected in any manner by the reclassification, even though it flows into the river. So they don't much have a dog in this hunt.
Are you aware that the 1,165 units on Windy Acres were effectively stopped by a Category 1 designation of the South Branch Rockaway Creek?
Yes, completely aware of that.
So this great park that we have, being saved from another 20-25% addition of housing to Clinton Township is due to a Category 1, which we fought long and hard for. We lobbied the state senator Lance at the time, lobbied the DEP. Our freeholders lobbied the DEP. Our council, actually, although they were being sued by Pulte Homes, did not oppose our efforts to get it designated a Category 1. And in fact, that's what saved Windy Acres. And in fact, I'll suggest to you it's what saved Clinton Township.
And again, I'm completely aware of that. My department at MERC paid for the stream characterization work that resulted in that. The situation is fundamentally different.
Will there be some sort of presentation?
Excuse me. If, for instance, one of these affordable housing developments is affected to the point where it can't be built, then a developer will logically, when we have our midpoint exam next year with the courts, if not before, either the current intervener or perhaps some other entity would put up the equivalent number of affordable units and probably not with the 26% set aside at another location in our township. It's very different. Please don't try to make them identical.
I'm not making them identical. I'm merely pointing out that clean water and the ecotourism that our freeholders are promoting in their policy documents seems to run completely counter to the freeholders' position that we don't need Category 1s because they're bad for Hunterdon County. So I think they're very important for Clinton Township because they further protect our land values, they protect our ability to enjoy a quality of life, which is what people come out here for. So I hope that the council does some kind of presentation that affords the public an understanding of both sides of the equation. I know there are people, Mark Salek at the county is screaming that this is going to destroy economic development. What I think is not clear to people is that over the past 10 years, without these additional Category 1s, the economic development that we've seen has been largely residential, and the only economic development and profit has gone to these developers who are putting up residential housing rather than developing our businesses. But I hope when you investigate this,
right.
I have an opinion. I hope when you investigate this, you will present both sides to the public and that you have a lively discussion about how you feel about these things so that everyone can express themselves.
I think to that point, I think it's important for us, all of us, public governing body, to understand what are the real impacts on Clinton Township of that designation. Mm-hmm. Does it affect residential or does it affect some of the places we have zoned for commercial, industrial, public goods?
What I would encourage you is to not be parochial and consider that this affects the county, it affects the state, not just Clinton Township. It affects all of New Jersey.
Exactly.
I'm going to add one more comment. I don't know Mr. DeMarco. I've never met him before, never heard the man before. I do know Carol DeMarco only insofar as I've delivered my tax checks to her over the past many years. I want to say I'm shocked at what Mr. DeMarco said about the way his wife was fired. And I haven't seen her letter. I don't know what she said to you. I have to say that I'm very surprised that you take the position that because you can't respond to a letter of complaint that she evidently wrote to you, I can't believe that you would tolerate, if in fact what he said was the way she was terminated. I don't understand how you could tolerate that. Because what I will tell you is, if in fact what he said was accurate, if Mr. Landon did the terminating, his reputation for how he handles employees precedes him. Ask anyone in Tewksbury Township. That's what you bought and what you inherited when you hired Mr. Landon. And I'm really dismayed to see all of you sitting here saying that it's a personnel matter. You sound like the school board. We can't talk about personnel matters, so you can't terminate an employee and say, we're sorry to see you go.
Sorry, Nick, when you were mayor and the tables were turned and that man was here?
Sorry we had to cut you?
How would you have responded to him?
Who?
If it were a personnel issue.
We never terminated anybody that way.
Would you have talked about a personnel issue to the person in public comment when you were mayor?
Councilwoman Switlick, when I became mayor, I terminated an engineer, a planner, and attorneys. I think Ms. Waterbury Cecil knows this because that's her firm that I hired.
They're professionals.
I wrote letters to each. It doesn't matter, Brian. I wrote letters to each one of them, and I explained to them, we're hiring different people. Thank you for your service. We're not going to renew you. That's how I ran Clinton Township. When we terminated people,
I'm not saying
we didn't do it that way.
I'm saying, would you have a conversation as mayor here with someone sitting there about personnel issues? You know you can't do that.
Yes, I would.
You could have.
To the effect that I would apologize that we had to let his wife go, and I would be able to look him in the eye.
I think I did apologize to him.
And
I felt very badly for him.
Able to look him in the eye and be able to say to him that when your wife was terminated, we sat her down, we thanked her for her service, and given that she was here for 18 years, we made a little bit of a big deal at a meeting, and we thanked her for her service publicly. The way employees in this township are being treated, I get phone calls that you wouldn't believe.
Probably
and
not.
John, pardon me, but I think you are setting the tone. When you address someone sitting here the way that you do, when you don't return phone calls from residents, you have become notorious for not returning calls from residents who need something from you.
Thank you, Mr. Ex-Mayor, for all your advice and counsel.
Sir,
any more points to make?
You can be as sarcastic as you like.
Mm-hmm.
You live with the way you behave and with the tone that you have created in this township and the way employees are treated. I could list for you more people than you would believe who have called me up and tell me how they've been treated here.
I'm sure.
You're sure of it, and I told you about it when you did it. You hired an administrator whose reputation in Tewksbury Township was for treating employees the way he treated Ms. DeMarco when she left.
Thank you. If we get back to C1 Streams for a second, it's important for the public to understand that in June of 2015, we took the township into the Highlands. And once you agree that you're going to conform to the Highlands RMP, every stream, regardless of whether it's C1, has the setbacks associated with the C1 stream, i.e. 300 feet. So, for instance, the Prescott Brook, the entirety of the Prescott Brook is turning into a C1 stream. Has no effect on us. We don't have a POTW there. We don't have a project near it or anything of that sort. So one has to look at this in a very, very detailed way and understand the impacts to the township and, to Mr. Corcadillis's point, a regional impact to the county. It's not just us. It's the vitality of the county that may or may not be affected. The freeholders, to my knowledge, have not yet endorsed a resolution. I think they're doing the same thing I am, understanding really what the facts are. It's a little bit complicated, like a lot of things, like affordable housing, with all of the offsets one way or the other. So bear with us if we do oppose it, if I introduce a resolution to oppose it, it will have to be tightly thought out and founded on the facts. So, like I said, it's a little complicated. and we're still elucidating what the facts are and what the effects are, both to our township and in particular to the ratepayers that pay for, you know, from the Clinton Town treatment works. So it's kind of a dual thing, stuff that directly affects the town body, and then what are the effects on the POTW in Clinton Town that in turn would have some effects on the ratepayers. So we'll see. Hopefully in the next comment period closes June 2nd or 3rd, if I recall correctly, and certainly we'll have to have a position one way or the other by the next council meeting. Please, just come up and identify yourself.
Sure. My name is Rob Jobman. I live in Clinton Township on Way Sutherland. I hear you talking about, you know, the impact of the township, but, you know, changing or going against C1 or whatever the designation is, I don't hear you talking about the impact of the streams themselves. I, myself, am a fly fisherman, and every time it rains, I see a lot of crap floating down the streams, especially on South Branch. So I really wish you would reconsider opposing that designation. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, fair enough. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Okay, Mr. Strauss.
Got time already?
Yeah.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed or abstaining? Thank you.